This is Progressive Radio, a weekly conversation hosted by Matthew Rothschild, editor of The Progressive Magazine, a leading voice for peace and social justice. For more information about Progressive Radio or The Progressive Magazine, log on to our website at progressive.org.
I'm Matt Rothschild, and welcome to Progressive Radio, which you can also grab off our website over at progressive.org. Today, I'm delighted to have on the show with me Van Jones, who was an advisor in the Obama White House on green energy before the haters on the right went after him, and now he heads up Rebuild the Dream, a grassroots bottom-up approach to economic revitalization. He's got a book out by the same name, Rebuild the Dream, and he was author of an earlier one called The Green Collar Economy. Van Jones, welcome to Progressive Radio.
Glad to be here.
Well, it's a real pleasure for me to meet you finally. I saw you speak once at a media reform conference and was really impressed. And then you went to Washington, of all things. What was that experience like?
It was good. I had a great time. I was there for 6 months and got a chance to work on some of the most important issues. Best 6 months of my life, followed by probably the worst 2 weeks. But that was about 2.5 years ago. Since then, I've got a chance to go all across the country. And what I found is that we've got whatever happiness might be going on with the political class right now, working class, middle class people are suffering as much or more than ever.
I know people who are in the upper class might look at the Dow Jones average and say everything's better, the recovery's great, I've got my investments, they're doing great. That's not the real picture that most people are facing.
No, it's not. You know, even the jobs numbers that people are taking some comfort in, and justifiably so, the kinds of jobs that are coming back are nowhere near the quality of the kinds of jobs that left, in terms of job security, in terms of income, in terms of just the career pathway available to people. And so we have a long way to go, and I think we shouldn't lower our expectations and then start rejoicing. I remember 2008, and we wouldn't have been satisfied in 2008 to think, oh wow, by 2020, we'll have the same level of jobs, same number of jobs that we had this year. You know, I mean, that's basically what we're right now. We're on track. We will finally get back to 2008 pre-crisis numbers by 2020 at our present rate of growth. That's not good enough.
Totally unacceptable, actually. And Van Jones, I know the Obama administration economists never thought the unemployment would get above 8%.
That's true, and obviously the Bush administration left things in a much worse condition than anybody thought. I mean, one of the reasons I wrote the book, Rebuild the Dream, is I think a lot of folks are kind of confused. We know we don't want a Tea Party president. We definitely want the president to be reelected, but we also know that's not going to be enough. We did that 2008, and we went from hope to heartbreak. And so I am one of the people, probably one of the few people, a true grassroots outsider who became a true White House insider. And I can see now this big gap. I think the people at the White House level don't understand social movements, don't understand grassroots progressives. You remember they were calling us, unfortunately, I think Rahm Emanuel was calling us retards and professional left and that kind of thing. And also, I think that the grassroots progressives don't really understand the White House and how D.C. works and what you can and can't do there. So I wrote the book to try to show a way forward. What can we do beyond just reelecting the president, and how can we begin to build a movement to solve some of the problems in the economy?
And how do we do that?
Well, I mean, one of the things that we've got to be able to do is to talk about the stuff that people don't want to talk about. The people, if you've done well in America, you should do well by America, and you should be proud to pay your taxes, pay America back. It's a lot easier to become a millionaire in the United States than in Somalia or some country where the government is not as strong. We set our business community up to succeed. You can go into court with your contract and enforce it. You don't have to pay anybody a bribe. We have roads that work. We have water that comes out of the faucet. We have lights that are on 24 hours a day. We do a lot of stuff. You don't have to teach anybody any algebra. We have public schools to do that. We do a lot of stuff to set our business community up to succeed. When they don't do well, that's fine. But when they do well, they should be happy to pay America back. Every business enterprise in the United States has as an anchor investor the best possible anchor investor in the world, the American people. And when you do well in America, you should pay America back, pay your taxes. And then we should be investing those dollars in the infrastructure to rebuild the country and in the next generation.
I'm speaking with Van Jones. I'm Matt Rothschild. I'm the editor at the Progressive Magazine. You're listening to Progressive Radio. I couldn't help but think of Elizabeth Warren when you were saying that because of that famous YouTube video that she was expressing some of those same ideas, and you and she are about the only two people I know who are really talking this talk. And sure. What do you make of Elizabeth Warren?
Oh, well, Jesus. You know, she's somebody I think people can legitimately get excited about. I've met her a few times, and I just think the world of her. And I also think that in general, we need to start thinking about, yes, we can. Not yes, he can. I mean, he's doing the best he can, I'm sure, President Obama. But we've had the wrong theory of these office holders, even in Elizabeth Warren, even of Barack Obama, anybody that you want to name. We have had the wrong theory of the presidency, certainly. The idea that we could just vote one time and the president was going to do everything. And it's never worked that way in America. LBJ, Lyndon Baines Johnson, did not lead the civil rights movement. He was head of state. He was willing to be pushed. But we had an independent movement that did the pushing. And it was led by Ella Baker and Fannie Lou Hamer, Bayard Rustin, who was a gay man, which nobody wants to talk about it as much as we should, Dr. King. There was independent movement leadership pushing a head of state who was willing to be moved. Under Bush, no matter how many people we put in the streets against the war, he wasn't going to be moved. With Obama, you've got a head of state that's willing to be moved. You see, look, with the Keystone Pipeline and stuff. But we have not, in general, put the bodies on the street to do the moving. And so my view is you've got to reelect this president. You don't want a Tea Party president. It would be great to have to pick up some seats in Congress, maybe even take the House back and have Pelosi running it. But that is one-third of what we need.
What's the other two-thirds?
The other two-thirds are what you're doing. We need media. If you look at Fox, they put up tremendous roadblocks. We had the White House, we had the Speaker's office, we had the Senate, 60 votes in the Senate. Fox put up tremendous roadblocks for us. The other thing you've got to have is a movement of real people in the streets. The Tea Party became a huge roadblock. Well, if all you've got is the inside the Beltway, D.C. levers of power, and you don't have media like you're creating, and you don't have a movement like the Tea Party, you're going to be stopped.
What do you think of the Occupy movement, Van Jones?
Well, I am thrilled with Occupy. I've been on TV. People say, well, Van Jones is here to speak for Occupy. I'm like, well, hold on a second now. The Occupiers speak for themselves, but I'm here to speak up for Occupy. And a big part of the book that I wrote, Rebuild the Dream, which is now coming out, is an evaluation of the Occupy movement, its strengths, its weaknesses. I compare it to the Tea Party movement and to Obama in 2008.
What do you think some of the strengths and weaknesses are?
Well, I mean, the great strength is that it was the ingenious tactic of occupation itself. If you have a 24-hour news cycle, you need a 24-hour tactic. We were still operating in that old way of doing things where you do a protest, it lasts for an hour, 2 hours, and then you go home and watch it on TV. Well, that made sense when you had a one or two TV stations and a 30-minute news block a night. But when you've got a gazillion TV stations and 24-hour news cycle around the clock every day, you need a 24-hour tactic. The occupation was the right tactic. Also, the idea of the 99% and the 1% was the freshest and most powerful way of talking about some of the economic injustice that we've had in the country that we probably in 100 years.
So it was the right tactic and the right slogan.
Exactly.
And that worked. Here in Wisconsin, we'd like to think that the uprising in Wisconsin with the occupation of the Capitol here was a precursor and a pointing of the way.
Yes.
Not that we were the founders of the Occupy movement, but there was a whole lot of synergy going on with the uprising in the Arab Spring.
Sure.
Which then caught fire here in Wisconsin and then spilled over in Ohio and other struggles. And then the Occupy movement started with some inflection from Europe, too, some of the occupations in Spain and other places in Europe. So it's been quite an exciting 15, 18 months to be an activist.
Yes.
And to participate in this or even just witness it.
Right.
And I speak sometimes to crowds and people still on the progressive side are wanting to be so downtrodden. And I say, look, there's a lot of stuff going on. Don't you feel that yourself, Van Jones?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, one of the things is You know, we went from hope to heartbreak. You know, it's true, from 2008 to 2009. But, you know, 2010, the Tea Party took over part of the House. But, you know, I've got a kid. He plays soccer. And I've seen that kid kick in one goal, two goals, three goals. And then the other kid gets the ball from him, kicks in a single goal, and my kid wants to quit. He's crying. He's mad. And you know, that's how we are on the left, you know. We kicked in the goal and we got the White House. We kicked in the goal, we got the Senate. We kicked in the goal, we got the House. They kick in a goal and get the House, we want to quit. It's like, wait, hold on a second. This doesn't actually make logical sense here. Like, we're, you know, it's a democracy. The other side gets to say, has have its turn at the microphone as well. But the ideas that animated the country 2008, all those people who came out of their houses crying and weeping and hugging in the streets, they didn't join the Tea Party. They didn't leave the country. We're all still here. And so, but we've got to now be committed to building a movement for hope and change that's not based on a single person. Occupy showed you don't have to have a single person. You can have a single idea, a single slogan, and real pain, and begin to get the attention of the country moving in the right direction.
I just want to talk, Van Jones, for a second about that heartbreak, which you've mentioned now a couple times, because there are a lot of people on the progressive side, me included, were so disappointed in Obama on a whole range of issues, from the Afghan war to compromising on health care to civil liberties, which he's been really bad, really bad on. What do you tell people who feel that way?
Well, you know, in an election year, you can say, well, I don't compare the guy to the almighty. I compare him to the alternative. And so in election year, I don't think any of us want a Tea Party president. But, you know, I think that presidents in general, great presidents are the product of great movements. That's always been my view. And that if you hadn't had the civil rights movement, you know, Johnson would have been, the same kind of president he was as a senator that he was in the 1950s, you know, just lukewarm, barely doing anything. FDR didn't get out there and lead the New Deal fight in the labor struggles. That was the people putting pressure. I don't think we put enough pressure on the president. I don't think we've created enough support for him when he's done the right stuff. I don't think there's been enough pressure when he's done the wrong stuff to know what kind of president we've got here. And you know, we all have the things that we can point to. But I always say it was never yes he can. It was yes we can. And until the Occupy Wall Street movement broke out, I don't think that those of us who were progressives, and frankly, Wisconsin led the way on that. It was really Wisconsin was the first flickering after, you know, we had the midterm defeat. Everybody was sad. It was Wisconsin that stood up and opened the door, and from Wisconsin to Wall Street. But I still think that the jury has to be out on him, because I think the jury is out on us.
I'm speaking with Van Jones, author of Rebuild the Dream, who actually obviously worked in the Obama White House for a while on green energy before the haters on right-wing radio and TV went after him. I'm Matt Rothschild. You're listening to Progressive Radio. I'm the editor at The Progressive. You know, Obama, yes, we can. He's fluent in progressive. He speaks progressive. That's what I always thought during the campaign. Wow, you know, this is an old farm worker slogan, or, you know, we're the people we've been waiting for. That's a June Jordan poetry line. I mean, he really could speak our language, and then sometimes, you know, we didn't seem to walk the walk. And yet, you mentioned the pressure. You know, Bill McKibben and the environmentalists and the people in Nebraska and in Canada and the tribes, you know, they really did come out and do something I thought was impossible. I mean, I was at one of those protests in November, and they were saying, we're going to stop this thing. And I said, you know, I'm glad to be here. As the same guy sitting next to me, we were listening to speeches from McKibben and Ruffalo and other people. They don't have a chance in hell, but I'm glad to see 600 or 800 people or whoever it was. Were you surprised that they were able to at least temporarily stop the pipeline?
No, you know, I remember when I first heard about the pipeline issue, and I was at the Center for American Progress, and some of the people, they were trying to figure out if it's going to be a big deal. And I said, you know, so there's something about a pipeline. It's concrete. It's material. I said, it feels like somebody's just jabbing a dirty needle into the arm of America, like one more time. I said, I think that this is going to wind up being a strong rallying point. I'm proud I was one of the first people to come out and sign the op-ed with McKibben very early, and I'm totally impressed with the 350 young people. Well, here's what I believe. I believe that the the White House and progressives made seven mistakes. I won't go into all of them, but in the book I wrote, Rebuild the Dream, which has just come out, there's seven big mistakes that I point out. And among them is when the oil spill happened, the environmental community, myself included, did not do what we would have done if it had been a George Bush presidency. We would have protested coast to coast. If there had been a McCain-Palin presidency, we'd have protested coast to coast 24/7 and demanded that something be done to move us away from oil. We would have put cap and trade back on the table, and we would have been unstoppable. But because it was Obama, we all kind of said, well, let's give him a chance to clean up. We don't want to make too big of a stink about that. This is the kind of mistake that we made. Everybody said, well, what did Obama do? I can tell you what Obama did. But the progressives ourselves did not take advantage. It sounds horrible to say take advantage of such an awful tragedy which took human life. But when those things happen, there is a moment for reflection, for reevaluation, and for putting the country back on the right track. The environmental movement, myself included, did not do that. And those are the kinds of mistakes that you can't blame on Obama. You got to blame those on us.
Speaking with Van Jones, who served in the Obama White House on green energy issues, and he's now heading up a group called Rebuild the Dream and has a book out by the same name, Rebuild the Dream. It's funny because I was talking to a leader of an environmental organization shortly after the spill, and I was asking him these very things, and he said, well, you know, we need to work with these people. All of a sudden, inside Washington stuff. And I would kept shaking my head.
Yeah.
And the weird thing about Obama was he was so right on offshore drilling during the campaign when McCain and Palin were going drill, baby, drill. And he said, no, you went to Florida and gave a courageous speech about offshore deep oil drilling. And then 2 weeks before, 3 weeks before the BP oil spill, he changed his position and said, it's safe now. Boy, you must have felt weird about that. The timing was so horrible.
Well, it's one of the, politics is all about timing, and but the time is running out for us overall with regard to climate change, with regard to global warming. I don't talk to a single person in America who if you just ask them, has weather been kind of strange here recently? I mean, I go campuses all over the country. People go, yeah. It was 80 degrees yesterday, and now it's 40 degrees, and it's happening more and more. And so I think that we've got to brush ourselves off. I think we were shocked, those of us in the environmental community. I mean, my new book is more about economics, but those of us in the environmental community, I think we were shocked because the backlash against doing anything sane on climate change was so ferocious, and that's yet in the wake of an election campaign where John McCain said global warming was a problem, where John McCain said cap and trade was a good solution, and John McCain said climate mitigation is going to create jobs and good industries. And so we thought, well, there's only one spot in American politics where we actually both parties agree, and it's on clean energy, energy independence, creating new jobs, making sure that we are able to home grow our energy.
Well, what happened?
And then what happened is that once they realized they were going to be in such a small minority, and they decided that it was more important to imperil the country, destroy American jobs, destroy American industries, let China, our good friends in China, have all our renewable technology and let them have the jobs of tomorrow. It was more important to do that if it would hurt Obama. And I don't understand how these people get to call themselves patriots and great Americans when they were willing to just inflict a small amount of pain on Obama to inflict irreparable pain on American industry and clean energy and also possibly irreparable pain on the planet itself.
They still want to cause pain on Obama on the pipeline issue.
Yep.
And how do you respond to the, Romney, Santorum, he's stealing our jobs by not doing this pipeline?
Well, I mean, it's funny. If they want jobs in the energy sector, I can tell you how they can make a whole bunch. It's called Repowering America with Clean Energy. There are way more jobs to be had in America manufacturing wind turbines and putting them up, manufacturing solar panels and putting them up, and challenging China's illegal dumping of cheap solar panels to wipe out U.S. solar, and hopefully they're trying to wipe out, I think, German solar by illegally dumping cheap solar. And then we would say, well, they, you know, Solyndra falls down. People say, well, see, this just shows, you know, the market has spoken. No, the market hasn't spoken. The Chinese government has spoken. And rather than you sticking up for an American company and other solar companies that are in trouble, and Solyndra is a special case, but we have a whole solar industry that's in trouble now because rather than standing up to China, our friends in China, you want to use it to knock down Obama. But if you want jobs in the energy sector, there are not a ton more jobs you're going to get out of oil and coal. You're not going to have a lot more coal miners in America. In fact, they're blowing up the mountains and scraping the coal out, so you know that's going away. But our coal miners will continue to do their job, but you're not going to grow their numbers. All the growth is in green energy, and that's the one place they're stopping any growth from happening.
I know Bernie Sanders has been proposing year after year this bill to put up 10 million solar panels on government buildings and other buildings around the country, and it just doesn't get through.
You know, it's really unfortunate. Now, the U.S. Navy, I will say, under Obama, has been moving in a more positive direction with regard to green energy. In the book that I wrote, this Rebuild the Dream book, one of the reasons I wrote this book, I went through something that most people in America never get a chance to go through, both positive and negative. You know, very few people get a chance to actually work in the White House. You know, you may visit, you take a picture, you put it on your mantle. You get a chance to work there. Totally different experience. It's kind of like being in the cockpit of an airplane that's going through a storm. You know, there's a lot happening. You know?
A lot of turbulence.
A lot of turbulence. You get a chance to see the character of people. And I worked with some amazing people in the White House level. But I also got a chance to be, you know, the direct target of the worst of the right wing, and to understand the incredible pressure they can put on an individual, on an institution, on a president. And I got a chance to leave and continue doing the work that I love, working at the grassroots level, helping young people. Rebuild the Dream as an organization is fighting back against the student debt crisis that's being shoved down the throats of these young people. We should be making it easier for young people to get an education and go out there and create jobs and the next technologies. Instead, we're punishing the ones who want to get educated. It's a suicidal strategy for the country and for that generation. So this book, I saw, again, that the White House side does not understand the progressive social movements. And I saw that the progressive social movements don't understand the White House. So I said, can I maybe make a contribution here by writing a book that kind of puts the lessons I've learned on both sides of that divide between the two covers of a volume and put it out there? And I hope that people will find it useful, because we cannot do another 4 years like we just did. We got to reelect the president, but we got to re-energize the movement.
Speaking of Van Jones, who worked in the Obama White House and has this new book out called Rebuild the Dream, he also has an organization called Rebuild the Dream. You can get there at rebuildthedream.org. Rebuildthedream.com. In the book, you talk about Obama's seven biggest mistakes. Mm-hmm. What's one of them?
Sure. Well, I talk about Obama's seven biggest mistakes, but I also talk about the seven biggest mistakes that the White House and progressives made. So I gave you one that we made. We didn't use the environmental. Step up when the oil spill happened. But one of the things that the White House failed to do was to explain the stimulus properly. Somehow, we got boxed in to pretending that the stimulus was going to be this massive cure-all for jobs. Well, you would hear them say, well, you know, X number of jobs created or saved. Created, and the saved always sounded like a little bit of a dodge.
A little bit of a fudge.
But in fact, that was the most important thing that we did. What jobs were saved? I'll tell you what jobs were saved. The teachers of America were able to go to work, because a third of the stimulus package was direct aid to states and cities to save the jobs of teachers, of firefighters, of cops, of nurses. We would have had massive layoffs in the middle of the worst crisis. It would have been worse. You would have driven up to your elementary school to drop your kid off. The building would have been empty. You'd have been fighting fires with garden hoses by yourself. had it not been for that stimulus. But we never talked about it in those bread and butter ways. So to have a stimulus that saves, you know, teachers, cops, and firefighters and never mention it is a mistake.
But it's also hard just to say it would have been a whole lot worse.
Right.
I think people had a hard time getting that. We only have about 3 or 4 minutes left. You mentioned a kid playing soccer. Your kid playing soccer?
Yes.
So I can't help but ask you about this Trayvon Martin terrible incident and what your reaction to that is.
Well, you know, I haven't talked about it publicly because it's just too upsetting. I think like a lot of people, I can't imagine. I think about the other son. You know, he was going to get the Skittles for his little brother. Oof. Can you imagine being that little brother? You tell your brother, go bring me some Skittles, and you never see him again. And some of the things that have been said, that Geraldo Rivera's comment that he had it coming to him because he was wearing a hoodie, the idea that if you're a child of color, that it's a capital offense to try to keep your head warm. I mean, that's where we've gotten. And somebody can say that and not be run out of the country, that he's still on the air. He's never apologized for that. I mean, I haven't talked about it. I don't know what to say. I just hope that somehow something will come out of this that will prevent this from happening again.
And these castle doctrine laws.
Well, listen, we should call them what they are. It's not stand your ground. It's kill at will. That's what those laws are. Those are kill at will laws. And we know they're going to be. I tell you what, if Trayvon had shot that man, there would be no talking about stand your ground. They'd be talking about murder. And so these are kill-at-will laws, and we know who's going to be killed, and we know the kind of people who are going to take advantage of it.
I'm speaking with Van Jones. He's got a new book out called Rebuild the Dream. He's head of the organization Rebuild the Dream. You can find it at rebuildthedream.com. He was, obviously, as I'm sure you know, an advisor in the Obama White House on green energy, and he's now talking about, you know, saving our economy in a way that helps everybody. We only have a couple minutes left. Do you ever think of running for office?
Well, look, I've seen that job up close, and I tell you what, it takes a special kind of person in the Constitution to be able to do that. I never was to run for office. I was not a politician. I'm an advocate. I was asked to go to the White House to be a special advisor. I was probably the only person in the building that didn't apply for a job. I was asked to come, and when I thought I was being used as a distraction, I resigned. I wasn't pushed to resign. I chose to resign. What I know for sure is that nobody in D.C. will be any better than the movements that we build to make them better. And that's what Rebuild the Dream is all about.
Tell us a little bit about the organization.
Sure. We are fighting right now. You can go to rebuildthedream.com to prevent the interest rate on student loans from doubling in July. Nobody knows this. Right now, we are on track. In July, the interest rate will go from about 3% to 6%. That will suck $20 billion, with a B, out of this next generation. 8 million recent graduates are going to have $20 billion pulled out of their pockets to go to the financial sector. It's doing quite well right now, and we're going to stop that. We need your help.
Well, thanks so much for being my guest today. It's just been terrific to meet you and hear your insights on this whole range of issues that are so important.
I appreciate the opportunity.
I've been speaking with Van Jones of Rebuild the Dream, rebuildthedream.com, and a book called Rebuild the Dream. I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine. You've been listening to Progressive Radio.
Today's program is available online at progressive.org. You can also write to us at 409 East Main Street, Madison, Wisconsin, 53703. Our music is by Mufa. Progressive Radio is produced by Elizabeth DiNovella and engineered at Audio for the Arts in Madison, Wisconsin.